In verse 33, we have heard that we cannot negotiate with God. If I can briefly summarize it, what they have done, they have vindicated God in all his discipline that he brought upon them. What they told him is, what you did was right on us because we deserved it. Mm-hmm. And that's good in repentance. Mm-hmm. That whatever God brings in his government, that I'm going to justify him, in a sense, if I can say it this way, that I deserved it and you have done the right thing. That's what they are saying in verse 33. And then I was reminded, when Benjamin reminded us there was no expiration date on sin, it gives me a word of warning. You know, there is a principle in the scripture. It says, and their sins, I will remember them no more. But you know what the difficulty is? Is sometimes as saints of God, sins in our time that we don't judge, it's going to carry on to the next generation and continues on until the Lord comes. And that's what happened. You see, if the fathers were in the right condition and they confessed and dealt with their rebellious spirit, these sins will not have came upon these children after thousands of years. So what's the principle? The principle is, we have to be very careful how we live. Because the problem is that what I do and I don't repent will affect following generations. It will affect this group. It will affect, if the Lord kept us here, the group after. So let's be careful and recognize sin is very sinful and its effect is tremendous. And that's what happens to testimonies, the effect of sin that was never judged. So the Lord help us to be in tune with God, vindicate him in everything he does for us and to us, because he's doing the right thing. But also the Lord help us to know the effect of sin that will ruin many generations to come.
I'd like to just make a little side note. I'm not entirely sure if it's on topic, but continuing to speak on the effectiveness of sin. And I mean, when we read in the beginning of chapter 9 that they, with the fasting and the sackcloth and the dirt upon them, and they continue to look back to the Word. We've been discussing that, how they were in the Word, and they continue to look back to the Word. And when we can take this and look at our lives, when we sin, and when we sort of realize that, like, our sin, or the sin that's going on in our lives, whatever it may be, whether it was a one-time, something that happened once, or something that's been continuous in our lives, and we realize it, I feel that we haven't really addressed that. I mean, when we see the people, we see them. It's an encouragement, because they did what needed to be done. They repented, and they confessed, and they were continually in the Word together. But sometimes in our lives, it's not just as easy as that. Sometimes we let guilt get in the way, and I mean, I feel that we've really stepped over that big word, guilt, because it's sometimes not as easy, and it doesn't come just as easy as we see it here. And just want to turn to Psalm 32. David says in verse 3, he says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer." And I just wanted to address that really quickly, because I feel that this wasn't seen in what we've been reading, but it's so often it happens in our lives, where that guilt, it hinders us and it prevents us from moving forward, but instead it just festers and our vitality is drained away from it. And I speak from personal experience. But then we read in verse 5 of 32, David says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." And I just wanted to quickly address that so that we don't forget and that we can be careful of that guilt, because it comes in so easily and it stays there and it hinders us from moving forward with the Lord.
Now, one of the things in the process also that we have been talking about is acknowledging the goodness of the Lord. Throughout the prayer or the confession in chapter 9, they have acknowledged what God have done. Verse 35 speak about what God had given them. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. When we consider the blessings that we enjoy, sometimes we are very grumpy and not thankful, and we feel like we don't have as we should. And that's not a right attitude of heart. They have confessed that God is good. Not only that He is righteous, that not only that He is just, not that He had rewarded them according to their deeds, but they also consider the goodness of the Lord, what God had given them. And now that leads us to something that's very important. The world sometimes come to us, most of the time, and attract us with the wonderful things that they have for us, and give us the impression that if we maintain a Christian pathway, we're going to lose on something. We're going to miss something. We are not going to enjoy something. There is some attractiveness out there that if you maintain a life that is separated, which means sanctified, which means set apart unto God, you're going to lose on something. And He makes you forget the goodness of the Lord, what you have. He shows you half of the truth. He shows you the pleasure of the world, but He doesn't tell you it's only for a season. He doesn't show you the effect and the impact of it, the misery, the consequences of it. He doesn't show you that. But what you see here, that in the process, there is goodness of the Lord. Surely, goodness and mercy. The Lord will take care of you. He will give you enjoyable time. You could run to sin and you're going to reap the consequences of it. Or you could maintain patiently the way of the Lord. And there is a reward. God is righteous. That's what they said about it. You are just. Not only that He is going to reward the backsliding, He also will reward faithfulness. God is faithful and He is the giver. He will give, and He always gives, and He gives more than we ask or we think. It makes it attractive for me to maintain a Christian life. It makes it good enough for me to maintain a Christian testimony. It makes me something that I wanted to go after. And when I look from God's perspective on the things of the world, it's trash. Paul said, I counted them, and I do count. They're trash. They're not worth it in the light of the Word of God. We don't want to lose sight of that, that there is pleasure in Christianity, that there is enjoyment in Christianity, that there is enjoyment in a godly life. There is fun. There is. It's not we're going to walk around with sad faces and, you know, we're miserable and we feel weird. No, not at all. Christians are happy people, because they are enjoying the goodness of the Lord, and they are sparing themselves by the grace of God from the consequences of sin.